that's all that really matters tonight, is touching Jesus. Then our lives will never be the same. We want to continue to remember our brother Daniel. Get some dinner and prayer. I believe he's home now, but still very weak in body. And we just want to remember him in our prayers tonight, that the Lord will just touch him and give him strength. Also, we want to continue to remember Brother Ron Spencer in our prayers, that God will just touch him as well. Sister Vicki Tidwell. And don't forget, this weekend is the wedding for Sister Naomi and Brother Noah. And just pray for them as well. They need strength, that God will just be with them and guide them. And also our pastor, the Lord will be with him and give him strength as well. And all those that are traveling to be here, that the Lord will just watch over them. I'm sure there's other needs. If you just make those known by the uplifted hand tonight, God sees our needs for the service. Brother Jonathan, come tonight, if you will, my brother, and lead us in prayer.
You happy to be in church? No other place like it. Amen. We come to be touched tonight. Amen. Let's stay a word of prayer together. Let's join together. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, once again, Lord, we're back home, Lord. Lord, coming into a house of worship, a house of praise, Lord. Lord, each one of us, Lord, we brought you into our lives, Lord. And when we entered this building, we brought you with us, Lord. We know you're here with us, Lord. And we ask you would accept our praise tonight, Lord, as we would begin to sing and we would begin to worship. And Lord, our minds be solely upon you and your word, that, Lord, you would just reach down and begin to touch lives, Lord Jesus. You see the need in each and every one, Lord, as the hands went up, Lord. And, Lord, our special needs and requests that we've held up, Lord, that, Lord, you would go minister to each one in a special way, Lord. That even as we're speaking tonight, even as we're singing and the ministry's going forth, Lord Jesus, you would move up on the scene with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and touch each and every need, Lord. Touch each and every concern, Lord. Bring us together, Lord. And, Lord, let us be a unified body around the Word of God, Lord, that could stand against the enemy, Lord. And, Lord, touch this service, Lord. Touch our brother Mark, Lord, and the musicians as they would sing and prepare us for the hearing of the Word. And, Lord, we ask you to be with Brother Ben, Lord, and speak through him tonight, Lord. Let it not be looking at a man, but looking at God speaking to his bride tonight, Lord. Be with us, Lord, in a mighty way, Lord. We give you honor. We give you the praise, Lord, and we worship you in thy lovely name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Remember Sister Deanna too. I'm sure she's not been that busy, but let's remember her anyway. And God will be with her and strengthen her. Amen. Let's sing this together tonight, if you will. Let's do it.
For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and said I'd say, found fortune and fame. found out that he would bring me out through his holy name. Thank God I am free. I'm free, free from this.
Say, thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. And I can't even walk, let's sing that tonight, without him holding my hand. Well, I thought that number one would surely be me. I thought I could be what I wanted to be, and I thought I could build all my sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you. Feel that way tonight. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. Praise the Lord. Let's sing and see. Oh, we'll give up and let Why is that so hard on human flesh just to give up and let Jesus take over? We just want to go down fighting to the bitter end when God, just a snap of the finger, can take care of any of it. Amen. We'll let you have your seats tonight, and we'll have our ushers to come and receive the offering for this service. You just give to the Lord. I know He'll bless you. This week we have a couple of birthdays. Brother Sam's going to be celebrating his birthday on Saturday, and also Brother Joshua Gibbons. So we're going to wish them a happy birthday now. Let's give them a hand, if you will.
Amen.
I think we got a special tonight by a new trio. We're looking forward to hearing from them. So if they want to be going ahead and getting ready, we'll just sing this little chorus tonight.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, well, He is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. Jesus is a way maker. Praise the Lord.
Bless Him, Lord.
For those of you that don't know it, this is Brother Casey and Sister Honora and Sister Abby, the BT Youth Group singers.
altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Here to worship.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand together tonight as we invite our precious brother Ben to minister what the Lord has laid on his heart for us. We're looking forward to something really good, aren't we, tonight?
Amen.
Feed our souls and to hear a burning testimony from where he was over in Africa. We know he's got a lot to tell us tonight. Let's sing this tonight. I believe it's in the key of B flat.
Till the my heart will go on singing. Yes, until then, with joy I can until the day God calls me home.
One more time.
Yeah. As until then,
my heart.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. And may that be the desire of all of us as the people of God, just to keep carrying on and on and on. One thing I've learned about life, you can't stop life.
Okay.
Buried under a concrete sidewalk, the first little crack it can find, life will come back up. And the real life in a child of God, the real life of God in you and I as a believer, there's not a trial.
That's right.
There's not a temptation.
All right.
There's not peril. There's not sickness. There's not famine. There's not sword. There's not pestilence.
All right.
That can keep life down.
Right.
It's always going to come back up.
Yes,
and if this body goes down, life is in it.
Come on.
And it'll just come back up one day. Praise the Lord. You can be seated for just a little bit. I want to just say thank you so much for praying, and I've got the Bible open, my notes here. I'm ready to preach in just a minute, but I want to give you a little missionary report and tell you kind of what took place in the great country of the DRC, the Congo. First, thank you for praying for me. What a blessing and what a privilege it is for me to know that when, you know, I get ready to make trips like that, that folks are praying and they're holding me up before the Lord. And I received every text and every Facebook message and all of those things. I don't want you to know personally from me to you, and you know who you are. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for praying for us. This was probably the first time in 16 countries that I've ever got on a plane. From the moment I started packing to the moment I got off the plane last night at 9, I didn't have any anxieties, no fears, no worries, no troubles. It was like smooth as silk from start to finish all the way to the end of it. And I know that's because y'all was praying. Thank you for that very much. So this particular meeting was just a few days from the start to the finish. Started on Thursday, ended on Sunday. And we started church 9 o'clock. We ended 9 o'clock. In many cases, it was maybe 9:30. Edging closer to 10 in some cases. And only once, I think we quit at 6, and that was because the pastor said, if y'all don't go home and get some sleep, in his French tongue, you ever have you say y'all in French, if y'all don't go home and get some sleep, you're not going to be ready for church tomorrow morning. And he said, I don't want to have to resurrect the dead the next morning. So he let us go. But many, many preachers from around the world, this particular audience encompassed about maybe 4,000 on the floor. There was about 2,000 or 3,000 in a building behind us. They had tiers like this, second and third story. There's about 1,000 going around each one of those. And as I understand it, every continent, all the 7 continents of the world, somewhere was tuning in to this particular meeting. And I asked the brothers about this particular meeting in Africa, and they said not just a meeting, this was the meeting in Africa. This is the big one that all of them come in for, and this, I guess, was the first time they had put it together, because there has been so much division between the ministry and the churches that they quit it altogether. COVID never stopped Africa, not for a second. Let me tell you, there wasn't a mask in sight except for in some of the hotels and restaurants where they were just playing nice with the government. But for the most part, I can promise you that these brothers, they were at each other's throat, divisions, divided, all kinds of doctrinal things. This was the first year that they had agreed to come together in a minister's meeting. And unilaterally, they all agreed to lay down every difference so they could hear from the Holy Spirit. And there was about 800 ministers on the floor all together in the first minister's meeting. They ranged from England, Belgium. They come all the way from Australia, South Africa. Myself and Brother Gerald Hughes of the United States, and the host that brought me over was Brother Louis Kayembe. He's a pastor. He's from the Congo originally, but he's a pastor in Lexington, Kentucky. He's a United States citizen now. And so it was just us 3 Americans, but the rest of them literally was just represented from all over the world. And the very first meeting ended 12 hours later, ever what it was, and these brothers walked outside, gripped each other by the hand, and tears streaming off their face. They said, what a wonderful thing the Holy Spirit has done. This was the first time they had a meeting, and there was no division. There was no bickering. They decided to lay all of that aside and just fall in love with one another and support one another and move on for the cause of Christ. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. It was a wonderful thing to see that. And as we went into the meeting, many great speakers, and of course they had the little headphones for the translation, and some of the brothers spoke English, so they preached in English, which was nice because I'm still working on learning that language, not to mention the other ones. And it was nice the way it was done because as they were preaching, you could catch it right when they would get it. And some of the things these brethren were saying, what was remarkable to me, the revelation that they're so excited about and coming into are some of the things that passed us 25 years ago, but it's brand new for them. And I could sit there and really pay attention to the ministry, always listen for the preachers to hear where they are. And it would seem very, very, very plain that they're coming into a whole nother realm right there in as far as the message goes. And no more is it just God sent a prophet, which was very common among that group of people, and I'd preached to many of those groups around the world and here in the United States and all over the place. But I didn't hear a whole lot of the Branham worship stuff like I'd heard before. This time, now they were saying what we said back in the 80s, well, he's a prophet, we got that, what'd he say? And how do we live it? So we saw a lot of that. Now that's encouraging to me as a preacher, as a leader, because now I see other people in the world beginning to come up in the revelation, which means that if they're coming up, others are coming up, And because we got it here first, most of the time we are kind of ahead of the curve, so to speak. But when you see these people coming into this great move of God like that and the Holy Spirit moving on them, the beauty of it is that you know that it's the mind of God being emptied into those people and revelation emptied into them for what? Getting us all ready to go for the coming of the Lord. Because Jesus said there'll be one in the bed, that'll be us over here sleeping, and there'll be over there having church, and the Holy Ghost will come get every one of us at the same time universally. So that was beautiful. And one striking thing when it come my turn to speak, I just kept asking the Lord, you know, what direction I should go. And what I'm going to preach to you tonight is actually another version of what I preached there. And when I was just kind of sitting there in the pews listening to these great men preach, I thought, man, there's really nothing left for me to say. And it seemed like the Lord said to me, well, who are you?
Glory.
I thought, well, I'm an American. The Lord said, right, share your experience with them. So what I did was I tried to preach to them what I believe is the message, but I also preached to them from the experience of an American in the message. And I let them know this was the road that we took 25 years ago that led us down this path. So avoid that path and then go down this path over here. And needless to say, when the services were over, I forgot how many hands I shook and pictures I took, and brothers saying all the time, we needed that, we needed that, we needed that, we needed that, we needed that. No American tells us that. No American preaches that. They just say that many of the brothers will go over there and they'll just kind of preach along with the flow of things, make everybody happy, smile when they go. But for me, I want to go and preach to the issue, to the need. Why make all that trip, leave your family, spend all that money and all that stuff to go over and preach God sent a prophet or we love Jesus, hallelujah, and praise the Lord. I'm just enough of a troublemaker that I'm going to find something I can preach on that's going to help them somewhere. Amen. So, but the striking thing that happened, got to the end of the service, and I was making a call for sinners, backsliders, and for those that wanted to get right with the Lord. And, of course, like I was telling Pastor a little bit ago, I mean, you could look. I mean, it wouldn't have shocked me if 800 at a time were standing on their feet. I wouldn't even dare call the number of people, but people crying and screaming and weeping. Señor Jesús, Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And it was quite outstanding. And all at once, the Holy Spirit fell on me in a discernment. And up on the second balcony, like on the right side, somewhere up toward the front, I could sense the presence of a critic. And when I felt that critic, the Lord didn't show me who it was. I didn't have my glasses with me, and I couldn't see him anyways, lest the Lord would have just made it clear for me. But I looked, and I saw that man standing there, and before I knew what was happening, the Spirit of the Lord spoke through my mouth, and he was saying, all right, critic, if you're going to be a critic against this message, I'm challenging you on this spot. Put this message to a test.
All right.
And either you believe it or you don't.
All right. Amen.
If you believe this message to be true, then accept it and watch God vindicate it. But if you're a critic of it, I challenge you, walk up here. And I knew, friends, as sure as I'm telling you, that would have been Ananias and Sapphira that had packed him out of there. And I know that. And I asked my translator brother, next time we got to the end of the service, I said, where was that critic at? This felt like the Lord nudged me to say, find out. I said, where was he at? He said, oh, on the balcony about the second way over. He pointed the exact spot where I was talking about. So to me, it was a confirmation. Well, after making that statement, I turned like this to sing, and I was going to sing a little song like Hallelujah, Amen, something that they knew in all the tongues, you know. And as I turned to sing like this, I felt the Holy Spirit funnel down like this on top of me. Now, the pastor's wife is a woman, spiritual, sees visions, everything like that. She said, when I turned like that, and when I felt that come down like that, she didn't feel it, she saw it. And she said, I watched it funnel right on top of your head after you made that challenge. And they're looking for the photos now. They're hoping they can get that on record so that they can take out there and say, this is the evidence that the message is true. And any critic that don't believe it, right there it is. So I was thankful to the Lord for that, because not that they need me to vindicate anything, but it just shows the Holy Spirit was there confirming the word with signs following, just like he promised he would do it. And whether they get a picture of me or not, I could care less about that. It's just the point was, to me, it was a confirmation, mission accomplished.
Amen.
Amen, mission accomplished. So in a meeting like that, you know, generally when I go to those places, you might think to yourself, if you're thinking it, believe me, I've already thought it before you. But he went for 5 days and then come home. I don't seem like much of a trip, but you got to understand, in this kind of setting, this is a different meeting than what I normally do, which is go into the place, they pick me up at the airport, like old Brother Samson tell you, send me from the plane to the pulpit, pulpit to the plane, and that's exactly what they used to do. And you go to one church, go to a night, next church, next church, next church, and just travel all over the country. But this particular setting was different because all of them from around was coming in on the internet into one spot. So even one service has the same effect as if you preached 80 or 90 times. So the Lord blessing us in those things and helping us. And I had a young man write me after the service, and he got my number on WhatsApp. Of course, everyone that was coming by, WhatsApp, 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 WhatsApp. I gave my number out to 9,642 people. No, I'm just kidding. I did take that many pictures, though, and shake that many hands, I think. But and then brothers finally said, quit giving them your number. They're going to torment you to death. I said, well, I don't have the heart to tell them no. How do I tell them no? But one young man, he wrote me, he said, Brother Ben, he said, I want to tell you, he said, only eternity will reveal how I was changed tonight. He said, my whole life has been a lie, but God made a difference in me tonight while you were preaching. So, mission accomplished. Amen. I bless you. Let's stand. Maybe at some point I can put you a little video or something together and send it out. But we'll... you can see the pictures. Oh, by the way, I got a video of them. I said, now I want you to tell our folks hello back home. And they just give me kind of a little Baptist for it. I said, now come on, really tell them hello. And I got a video of all them people hollering hello. When I get that done, I'm going to bring it and let y'all have it, okay? Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. You love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Smoking the Bandit said, I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. So here we're going to have to run tonight. Amen. Brother George enjoyed that the other night on the end. I want to tell you, if I'd have had more voice where I could have hollered amen better, I was about wore down when I come in, but I was just squeaking with you amen as much as I could. And then the striking thing is I sent him a screenshot of it. The next morning I got up to teach my Chinese kids, and the first lesson was the power of the ants or something like that. It was all about the ants there, and I thought, well, praise the Lord. See, Jesus does that. If you're spiritual, you watch for little confirmations like that. The Lord is just marking your path like a mile marker going down the road, letting you know you're on the right track about things. And I know I was blessed hearing it. I know he was blessed giving it. And I know you were blessed to receive it.
Amen.
We appreciate the ministry here. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity tonight. Thank you, church, for receiving us. Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, if, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, the word he uses here for like-minded, let's show him. Phroneo, which means to agree together, cherish the same views, be harmonious, to strive for one's interest or advantage, to be of one's party, to side with him, now watch this parentheses, in public affairs. So there is a backyard.
That's right.
And it's all right for brothers and sisters and such vice versa to disagree in the backyard.
That's right.
But when it comes to the front yard,
yes,
you side with your brother.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
There you go.
Right. Nothing wrong with disagreeing.
Right.
I guarantee you, Samantha Kay and I have never saw eye to eye. She's 5'2" and I'm 6'2". And even Brother Branham said him and his wife had disagreements. He liked cherry pie. She liked apple. We're always going to have something that we don't see eye to eye on. But that's in the backyard. But when it comes to the front yard, that's where I take up from my family. Praise the Lord. Listen to this in the message called The Inside Man. Now listen to this carefully. That, my Christian friends, has been my vision of what the world needs today is back to God.
Yes.
Now, doing my very best, I intended to keep on all to do all that I know how to bring man back to God and bring a brotherhood and a feeling of Christ among the people. Now, that was Brother Branham's vision. Brother Branham's vision was not to set up a headquarters. No. Not to play tapes in place of ministry. No. Not to send MP3s and books into the world. That was not Brother Branham's vision. He'd done that as an extension of preaching. Do you realize that tapes and books themselves are only an extension of preaching? They're not to replace the preaching. Because they had books and tapes and things and recordings when Brother Branham was alive. So if the tape was Brother Branham's vision, the book was Brother Branham's vision, why didn't he say, okay, listen, I'm done. I'm just going to sit back and let what I've preached thus far circle. You know why he didn't say that? Because it was not Brother Branham's vision. And why did Brother Branham take up for a lot of people and side up with a lot of people that you would think to yourself, why in the world would he do such a thing? You realize when you look at the end of many of these people that Brother Branham walked with, some of them were the slimiest, low-down hypocrites you've ever seen in your life. And you wonder, why did Brother Branham take up for people like that? That was his vision. Because in the backyard, it was one thing. But in the front yard, well, you get the point. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Father, we can't even begin to express our gratitude and our thanks to you for such a message. Lord, it was sown in such a love that, Father, if we could just somehow mirror image or tap into that love, it would change the way we look at things in our lives and with our families and with the church and preacher, ministry, ever what it might be, it would just change us completely. And I pray you would come and take your word tonight and that you'd speak to us through this thing. Lord, I don't have any ability, of course, to do, you know, any kind of great supernatural thing. Lord, when I talk about them little things that you've done in the ministry, you know my heart, Lord. I don't even like talking that way, but I just want your people, your children here at the little home body to see that you are still God and you can do whatever you want to do. We thank you, Lord, for what little bit has been accomplished, and we trust that even more will be accomplished at another time. May the Holy Spirit, we pray, come now. Take your word and speak to us in Jesus' name. And the saints said, amen. You may be seated. May the Lord bless you greatly. Sure appreciate the Lord. Now, in looking at this particular verse, I want to call your attention back to verse 2. Paul saying that he wanted them to fulfill his joy, to be like-minded. Now, if we could call Brother Branham from the grave, we could set him here on this platform and ask the prophet of God to take this microphone or one of these back here and strap on one of these headsets or something and say, now, Elijah, we want you to come and tell us tonight how you feel about the state of this message and how that the men, the leaders, and the people alike, how they're handling your message. We know the message, of course, is God's message, but Brother Branham is responsible for what he brought to us. So as a leader himself, he would be desirous, as I read it several times today, and as I was coming back over the seas and things, I was studying kind of these remarks about the tent, not the tent vision, I was thinking about that too, but about Brother Branham's vision beyond the curtain of time. And I was thinking, because I was thinking of the tent vision, of all the different visions that Brother Branham had, he referred back to that one again and again and again and again, and he always referred back to it, including the part where he said, if Paul's group made it, then my group will make it because I preach what Paul did. So if you kind of read between the lines, you can see clearly that Brother Branham was a man that had the desire in his heart that he wanted to make sure that what he was preaching to the people was as accurate as God would give it to the day. And he was concerned that maybe he would miss it somewhere, and he kept his mind all the time on making sure the message was straight. When the Holy Spirit called him out there out west, you know, he talked about what a nervous thing it was for him when he come back to preach the seals, how that he was working and working and working, and said, I almost made a terrible mistake. Up to about 12 o'clock in the day, the Holy Spirit come and corrected it, opened it up, and we know what it was, starting out with the first horse rider. And he said, then every rider started to open up each day. But for Brother Branham, it was such a crucial thing, such an important thing, an emergent thing, that he made sure, or an urgent thing I should say, that he made sure that the message was absolutely 100% accurate. That even when he was working out there in that questions and answers, trying to gauge where the people were at, he said, I thought I would test the church to see if they were spiritual enough to see what had been taking place. He said it was the visitation of the angels of the Lord that was bringing the mysteries each day, each night, each angel was bringing the mystery. And Brother Branham, while he was trying to answer that question about Revelations 5, if anybody ever knew Brother Ned Iverson, Brother Branham misses it. He gets his mind on having to pray for the sick and all the other things, and he answers the question wrong, and Brother Branham, is somebody sick? What's going on? Oh, Brother Ned, he told this story the day he died. He said, and Brother Benji, they used to call me Benji, don't nobody do it. You'll die the death of 1,000 men. But all of a sudden, you know, he would say, he told the guy, and he said, Brother Branham missed that. Brother Branham missed that. And that man said, well, you can't say that about the prophet. About that time, old Ned, he's about 7 foot tall. He hollered out, read it again, Brother Branham. Oh, the scripture, oh, I missed it. Now, see, and then Brother Branham says like this, see, he was so determined that I would get that right. I felt like I was taking candy from a baby. So it was important for Brother Branham to maintain the same mind in the message that Paul had. To be like-minded to the first messenger who said, if we or an angel preach anything contrary, Brother George, let him be accursed, be it me, be it you, be it whatever preacher, pastor, prophet, or whoever they might be. If they preach anything contrary to that Bible, then let that man or woman, or whoever who they are, be accursed. So Brother Branham's mission was to remain in harmony with the Apostle Paul. If they made it in on what Paul preached, he said, my group will make it because I preached exactly what Paul preached. Now, what does that mean, Brother Pat? That doesn't mean that Brother Branham just stood up there and just read things out of Paul's books and read this scripture and that scripture and repeated it just exactly word for word the way Paul said it. But what it means is he was able to remain faithful to the vision that the Apostle Paul had for the Gentile age. He knew that salvation was necessary, the Holy Ghost was necessary, that the powers of God needed to be put in the hands of all believers, not just preachers and ministry, but in the hands of women and school children, the elderly, and ever who they might be. And then Brother Branham, remaining true to that vision, made certain that right to the very end of his life, even in the seals, that what he would preach would dovetail with the rest of all of the prophets, the messengers, and everybody else. Now, this is what Paul said, be like-minded, or have the same mind, or be agree together, be in the same party, or to follow along in the same idea and the spirit of the message of the hour. Now, that being said, I want you to think about what a miracle it's going to be to get all of us in the same mind. I don't mind telling you, we probably will disagree. If we spend enough time together, there's going to be things we disagree about. And the church said, oh my. Now you realize that even though the Spirit of the Lord wants us to be in the same mind, we don't always have to agree about everything. Well, you say, how are we going to be in the same mind? Boy, I'm glad you come to church tonight. You're going to find out. Now, watch now. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 now. Now, listen to this. He said, but I trust the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Now, listen at this meaning. Equal in soul. Can you imagine the way that Timothy must have felt when he read this? To know that Paul, not only his mentor, but father in the gospel, but looked at him as though when Timothy was standing there, it was like Paul was standing there. You understand how people in this message view that? It's impossible. They don't believe that men have the ability to stand there like Brother Branham. If they believed that, they wouldn't push tapes like they do. It's okay to say it, man. It ain't going to scare them. Right. If they really believed that a Joseph Hammond, Ben Norod, Jonathan Jones, George Moore, if they really believed that we could operate and function with the same soul, they would never ask us to replace our ministry with the playing of the voice of the prophet. Now, isn't it amazing? Paul believed this could happen. Message people don't. You hear them say, I will get it, the pure word. And many of those people that get the pure word, they're as confused and mixed up as some of y'all kind of looking at me tonight. Where are we going? Hang on, honey. We're going to get there. I ain't killed nobody yet. Yeah. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Paul's feeling was, Timothy is just like me when he's standing there in my stead. No wonder he told him, go ordain elders in every city. Not look for men that know how to read it exactly right. Not look for a man that knows how to quote it and say it just like Paul would say it. But to reverberate it with the same passion, the same vision that Paul had. I'm sure that Timothy probably had a very different style than that of Paul. Paul was such a hard man that he even admitted in his own writings, it's hard to listen to me preach. I'm a hard preacher, Paul said. He was hard to look at and he was hard to listen to. Even Peter said himself in his own book when he made the statement that Paul says things, it's hard to understand it. Woo, praise the Lord, somebody. Sure, and you know, and that's the thing. If you was to take an Apostle Paul and set him behind this platform right here, well, not at the tabernacle, we're used to good hard preaching around here. But many message churches, one thing's for sure, Paul would absolutely run three quarters of them away. They couldn't take his type of preaching. Our people have become the most little petted baby bunch of people you ever seen in the world. They want you to call them the elected. They want you to call them the bride. They want you to give them a pass right to the rapture. And don't you dare, man of God, say nothing about how they live or what they do. And I'm telling you, friends, if that's the idea of church, then you got the wrong idea of church if that's who you are. Paul was not a man that let things go. He sought for the harmony of believers, not the harmony of the gathering. Not everybody in the church is going to see the message in the right way. Remember, every church has got three kinds of believers. Come on. Huh? Believers make believers and unbelievers. They all will gather into the same thing. Remember, when Moses led them out, there was a mixed multitude that went with Moses. 100% mixed up altogether. No way around it. Look here in Titus 1:4. To Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. So if you went and heard Titus preach, Brother Titus is going to speak to us tonight. Only believe. God bless you, Brother Titus. Come bring us the message. As far as Paul was concerned, to hear Titus was the same thing as hearing him. They were equal in soul. Glory. 1 Timothy 1:2. Unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith. Watch him call him son. Ham, H-A-M, Abraham, father of many. Amazing that God sent us another Ham in the last day, huh? Because Brother Branham does have sons. I'm one of them. I don't have to be a Branham to be a son of this message. I'm a son by birth. I'm a son by the same soul that Brother Branham had. Amen. Right? Philemon 1:10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Now, last I checked, Paul wasn't married, was he? So was he like some of the preachers in this message, went out and had kids, nobody knew about it? Running around with women? What are all these sons about? Those that are the same soul. Those that have the same desire in their heart as Paul did. Glory to God. You see why this is beneficial? To focus upon what the purpose of this message was. The messenger himself is not really the important part. The important part is to unite and knit yourself together with what the messenger taught and what was inside of his heart and what his vision was, just like all the rest of the prophets down through the ages. Watch this in the message, Witnesses. Again, Brother Ram says, that's always been my vision. When the church comes together, bone by bone, then the sinew skin will come on and the Spirit of God will move and cause us to stand on our feet and walk like Christians. Hallelujah. Why? Because if we have this same vision, then we'll have the same idea. If we are the same vision as Brother Branham, we will want to see the church knit together bone by bone and have skin on the body. Do you realize that the only time that the Word of God permits us to bring division, if it is division based upon the Word? God divided the light from the darkness because they were contrary natures. He divided this from that because it was a contrary part. The only time division is acceptable is when it's contrary to the Word of God. Then you walk away from it, not to walk from it anymore.
Amen.
Other than that, you're my brother, you're my sister. Ministry explained, it's always been my desire to please God first. If you get that one down, you're on your way to having the same passion, desire, zeal, vision, and soul as Brother Branham. Because you're going to find out, trying to please one another don't work. Look, I get it. I'm weird. I'm odd. I'm strange. I'm a different person. It's hard to figure me out. I know. You think you have trouble? I'm the one that lives with me. I've got little things about me, little quirks. You do too. Don't sit there and look at me like geese on the pond. I realize that there be parts, oddities about a man or a woman's character or their ways and manners of life. So the idea is not to try to figure out how can I be most pleasing to you. But if I focus on pleasing God and you focus on pleasing God, you know what it will do? It will unite us together as one body in Jesus Christ. Which is why I do only that which pleases my Father.
Amen.
Right, amen. Notice in the paradox, Brother Branham says, now how are we going to lose this great race? Now can you say amen to this quote? Because we're divided. How are we going to do it? We've got to stay together. We're all believers in God. The Holy Ghost takes us all in. It'll be a paradox if God ever gets us together. But he will. Oh, just trust him, he says. Glory to God. He knows how to send persecution to run us together. Aha. Uh-huh. Here I am speaking French. Joy, is that you back there? Yeah. I hope my French was good enough. You and hubby too, right? Is that hubby? Hey, buddy. God bless you. Imagine this. Paul standing here saying, Timothy has the same soul as me. When you hear Timothy, you hear me. And now he goes to another church and he hears these Corinthians running around here going, I'm of Apollos. I was with Paul. Whenever Paul came out of Damascus, you know, after his eyes were blinded, I got a piece of his horse's tail. I've got dirt from the ground that Paul walked on. You know what Timothy could say? I got his soul. Those that have his sleeping bag, his coat, and got all kinds of paraphernalia, that's great. Thank God for it. God will bless you for having something that a prophet touched. But I've got something even greater than a piece of his sleeping bag. Amen. I've got the same God inside of me that Brother Branham had inside of him. Had a minister get quite upset at me over the weekend for saying that what a Catholic idea we have entered into with this whole thing of selling so much stuff, paraphernalia, pieces of Brother Branham's floor, pieces of this, pieces of that. If it was a prayer cloth, I could imagine. But I don't need 14 skulls of John the Baptist and 32 nails from the cross of Calvary. I'm not a Catholic. If I want to be blessed, I'll do exactly what the messenger told me to do. I'll love you. I'll find a pastor, and I won't be odd or strange. I'll just live the best I can for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Questions and answers. When the church is out of harmony, you hurt the church. Then you hurt the cause. You just can't do it. But when we can agree upon one thing, that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Can you say amen to that? Sin is gone. We're pretty close to the home line then, said Brother Neville. He said, when we're blessed, I've got a brother. We're blood relations, but my, how we disagree miserably. I'm not talking about easy disagreements. Miserable disagreements. Y'all going to say amen or what? You didn't forget how to when I left before Africa, right? Huh? Oh, but you say, glory to God. If we're brothers, if we're sisters, we'll never disagree. Who lied to you? Who? I want names, places. People that say such things as that don't even understand a Christian walk in the first place. Because God does not take your humanity away from you the moment you got saved. He gives you something to control this thing you live in. Control it, not do away with it. Brother Ram said, my conversion never took out of me my love for nature. And conversion don't take out of the nature of some people to argue. Well, hallelujah. I've heard people stutter saying, but. Just they don't even know what to disagree about. It. But. I learned a long time ago, goats are the ones that butt. Sheep are the ones that says, amen. Listen to this in the Angel of the Covenant. When you break into the channel of spirit for a vision, everyone praying, some doubting, some this way, some that way, you just don't realize. Then Jesus, he said he went into a place, they were all screaming on account of a little girl that just died. They're laughing at him, said she wasn't dead. He put every one of them out of the house and went in. See, you've got to have unity, harmony, everything in one accord. Amen. Then the Holy Spirit should never have to have but one prayer here at the platform. Oh, God, imagine what the prophet is saying, that if we could just fall into harmony, it would only take one prayer at the platform. Oh, glory. Could you imagine a church of such power and authority walking with the vision of their local pastor, and all that pastor has to do is take one prayer and sweep it over that congregation, and the power of God fall out amongst them and do great things. Mark, Matt, come here. Come here, you two. Get some mics. Come here. Wanda, where'd you go? Come here. Come to the piano. Let me show you what harmony looks like. Now, what I want you to do, just sing a note, just any note. Baritone or tenor, which one you want to take? You want to do the baritone? All right. You sing it first, then you join him, then I'm going to join him. Give us a key, whatever. Just whatever thing. Yeah, no, I want you to sing too. Give us a note for Brother Mark. This is all scary. Just, I know. I do G for Jesus, that's for sure. All right, now, can you sing your note again by yourself? That's good. Sing your note. Can you? They're not the same notes. He is singing something different from him. He's singing something different from her. Wait a minute. Do it all together again. I've always wanted to be a conductor like this. Do it again. But you sang something different from me. I sang something different from you. Yet, we're in harmony. So you mean we can maintain our differences and still be in harmony? One part of time for old fashioned, old time's sake. Amen. Thank you. Harmony. Each one is different, but yet they have their individuality. Yet their individuality supports the other one, which makes the harmony between different parts. That makes it one voice. So whether you're white, you're black, you're red, you're purple, you're green, whether you're Thunders or Soul or Perugia or whatever you are, as long as you're trying to please Jesus first, your life will find a spot of harmony in the body of Christ. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. Listen to this, and God making his promise. Never was Israel harmed as long as they stayed in harmony with God's command. This is why Brother Bram said, you sweep your steps, I'll sweep mine. So my harmony part might be different than yours. Leave mine alone, and I'll leave yours alone. As long as we're both trying to be obedient to the word, stop nitpicking, because the other one is higher or lower than you. You'll lose the harmony if you do it. Maintain a focus on what God called you to do. Praise the Lord. Of all the years I've sang harmony, if you ever sing with me and I'm staring a hole through you, it ain't because I think you're pretty or handsome. I'm watching your mouth because I can see by the moves you make what moves I've got to make. And I can pay attention enough when a person is singing a harmony note or a song or a lead note or something like that. I know that even though I might be different, but if I follow the leader, I can figure out where they are. Praise the Lord. All you say, that's right. Follow the pastor. Follow the preacher. No. We follow them as they follow Christ. As the real leader amongst us is not Brother Joseph, not me, not Jonathan, not Brother George, not these other brothers. The real leader amongst us is Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody say amen. The power of the Holy Ghost has been sent to lead the bride. That's why we had a pillar of fire at the night and a cloud by the day. We're following the real leader. And real leaders are great followers. They know how to follow Jesus. Amen. Oh, I love that. Listen, he said, and the church will never fail. Never will a program fail. As long as those who are in charge stay in the center of God's will. So when it comes Christmas time and you're leading choirs or you've got some kind of music program, Brother Mark, or somebody's leading the charge on doing a banquet or some kind of a dinner or something, as long as you, the leader, stay in the center of God's will, you'll never have a problem. Praise the Lord. That's right. I'm not just going to keep that at the platform. Oh, glory to God, you preachers better keep it straight. Mama, you better stay there too. Daddy, you better follow that same advice. Hallelujah. You look at your home, you think, why do I got so many problems in my home? Who are you following? If Christ is first in your home, Jesus will show you how to fix problems. Hey, brother, being a Christian is not the absence of trouble. Come on, somebody preach to me. No, we take on troubles when we become a Christian. Are you with me? But the fact is, as a Holy Ghost believer, the power of God will lead you on how to solve them. Right? Oh, I love this statement of oneness. Brother Abraham says again, he says, that's when his prayer will be answered. That's the church Jesus is coming for. Amen. That we will be one. Remember, he prayed, Father, make us one. Make them and us one. When will his prayer be answered? When we get in harmony one with another. Even though we have diversity amongst us, even though we have differences amongst us, if we stay in our place before God, we will have harmony. And that's the church that Jesus is coming for. Amen, amen. Oh, my. Listen to this spoken word, church. See, notice what harmony. Jesus never did anything until he seen the Father. The Father showed him first. Harmony between God and Christ. See St. John 5:19. So will the bride. And the bride said. Right. And he shows her his word of life. He shows her. She receives it. And she never doubts it. Here is the secret. Now you know how we as human beings love secrets. You know that certain little cleaning thing that somebody does that gets stains out of certain, and you just, I wish I knew the secret. You have one of those deals in construction, Brother Greg? How can we get the secret to fix that thing? Well, I'm going to show you the secret of the rapture. Would you like to know? It's not so much a secret anymore. Some people have found out what it is. The word is in the bride. Praise God. And the mind of Christ to know what he wants done with the word. She does it in his name. She has thus saith the Lord. Come on, somebody. They do only his will. Brother Ben says, amen, I believe that. No one can persuade them different. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. That's the secret to the rapture. Just wait on him. If you don't understand something about your brother, your sister, you know what Brother Bram said to do? Take them in prayer shoulder to shoulder before God. Amen. And he said, and be honest about it. If he's done you wrong, tell the Lord he did me wrong.
That's right.
He said, before you get back down, glory, the Lord will show you something about him and make you start feeling sorry for him, maybe, he said.
Amen.
We carry so much bitterness, burdens, and anger and confusion and we carry all this stuff in our heart when genuinely, friends, there's an easy fix to a lot of this. There's a secret to it. You know what the secret is? Keep the mind of Christ. If you knew the Lord's mind behind somebody that did you evil, and God could reveal to you like Joseph that it was in God's will to preserve life, how much better would you feel about it after going through prison? Huh? Your own family trying to murder you.
That's right.
Somebody trying to kill you of your own.
That's right.
Come on, shake your heads this way at least. Blink at me a little bit every now and then.
Yeah.
I know we don't even like the Walmart lady to stare us down, much less your own kin.
Right.
Come on, y'all.
Right.
That hurts you so bad when she glares at you when you're getting ready to check out with your Twinkies. And she looks you up and down as though you don't need another box of Twinkies. Well, I'm ugly and you can diet. How about that, lady? Humanly speaking, you get aggravated, frustrated. But if you could take a step back from that silly little scenario and just say, Lord, what's your mind about this? You know what the Holy Ghost may show you? That woman may be going through a divorce. She might have just found out she had a cancer diagnosis, or she could just be absolutely aggravating and needs prayer. Maybe she had a bad history. If we could have such a mind as that, think, friends, what kind of Jesus could we be to the world if we could be that kind of Jesus to them? Praise the Lord. Mighty God unveiled, the director and the composer must be in the same spirit. Power of transformation. Now, Brother Bram is talking about Gene and Leo here. And he's commending them on being the kind of boys they were and so forth. And he said, you know, that he sent them out there to try to keep close to him. He wanted them to stay close to Brother Bram, so he commissioned them to make tapes for him. He says, just previous to this, what we're going to read, he said, but what a greater thing God has done for them by calling them to preach.
Right.
Now, listen to this statement here. Most anybody can make a tape that's got intelligence to turn on a tape recorder or can sell it. So in other words, tape recording is not what keeps us in harmony. Anybody got anything negative to say? Don't blame Brother Joseph. Blame me. I'm the guy preaching it. I was preaching it before I come to Believer's Tabernacle, and I'll probably be preaching it afterwards. Anybody can make CDs, MP3s. Anybody can print a book. And I personally don't care who it is.
Amen.
I'm not interested in whether they get every word right.
Because
I don't really need a stack of books to know the revelation of the day.
Amen.
And I've got enough confidence in the Lord, and I have confidence in Brother Branham that what I need to hear, it'll be accurate when I hear it. Because friends, what you don't realize is that I'm an old enough preacher that I remember the days when you had to come to the platform and there wasn't a lot of books available. Or tapes that you could get your hands on. I mean, I as a boy didn't have $10,000 laying around to buy a whole library. I worked at McDonald's long enough to get about $300 or $400 together to buy 1965, and I wore them things slap out. I remember a time coming to the platform, you didn't know every word Brother Branham said. And yet, while I'd be preaching, the Holy Ghost would quote things through me that I'd find later when the computers come along and I was quoting them verbatim and didn't even know Brother Branham said it. What you need to understand is that a real child of God don't need a piece of paper in front of them to know the mind of God for their day. God watched over this message. He watched over Brother Branham. And whatever way it'll get to you, it'll get there. Anybody can make a tape. Anybody can sell a book. But listen to Brother Branham's words. But it takes guidance of the Holy Spirit to guide a little group together like this morning. Keep them together in harmony and unity and still clinging to the message. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12, verse 16. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Anybody still believe in miracles? Anybody? What I just read to you is going to be an absolute miracle, Brother George. If the bride of Jesus Christ can get in the same mind and get in harmony, any of y'all ever sang harmony? Anybody know how hard it is to get them parts worked out? Now, that was easy with these boys and Sister Wanda up here singing that one note. Add a whole verse, a chorus, and another verse, and a tag, and a bridge, and a repeat verse onto it, and see how easy it is to do the harmony. As a matter of fact, it takes years to master the skill of being able to sing it on demand. You say, well, Brother Ben, are you that good? You better believe I am, because I poured hours into learning how to do it. Now, I didn't say it was good to you, but I'm good enough to know how to do it. Understanding music is something that doesn't come overnight. You've got to labor. To get in harmony is a laborious effort that you've got to dedicate and commit yourself to doing it. Do yourself some homework. Ask some of these musicians in here, Joy, and some of these ones that play and sing. Ask them how easy it is to play with a band. That is, if everybody would be honest and not lie through their teeth. Oh, they're the greatest people in the world. I love playing with them. I know. No. Sometimes you get aggravated because you think to yourself, why is Cameron, why are you thumping that bass when you're thumping it? Don't thump it in that spot. Thump it over here. Then the piano player, he's on this side over here when he should be on that side. Harmony is not something that's just birthed because you desire, hey, let's play a song, and it come together overnight. Very few cases are recorded of such magical harmony. They usually last about a year or 2 years or 3 years, and then it ends up like the Beatles and all the rest of them, split 40 ways to Sunday. Mm-hmm. So don't think to yourself, well, glory to God, the bride is going to be in harmony. Yeah, if she practices her instrument. The one thing I learned about music is you can't always be the lead and get in harmony. You see, when you're playing up here like this, you've got to train your ear to listen for what they're doing and for what you're doing. And when they're doing something, you've got to tell yourself, don't you do it. Because if you do, you'll step on their part. Welcome to music class, y'all. Professor Norod, 101, music 101. It's something that comes by experience. You learn when the organ's playing a certain lick on the high side, you go to the low side. You learn that when the drummer does a certain beat, don't put the rhythm of your piano at the same time as the drummer. Find that little gap in there where you can complement, not take over. Too many musicians in this message need to learn what I'm preaching tonight. Amen. Everybody trying to play the lead. Everybody wanting to be the pastor. I mean, everybody wanting to be some kind of lead. Friends, contrary to what some might think, Brother Joseph does not need your help pastoring this church. God called him. God will speak to the leader of the area. Your suggestions might be welcome from time to time, but I doubt it. Because any true man of God really doesn't want to hear it. He loves you, but what he's looking for is what does the Holy Spirit say about things? Amen. Right. It's amazing. It's amazing how many times rather than complimented, love that sermon, love that tie, love your new haircut. I don't hear things like that as much as I hear, why'd you say that? You should have said that over there. These people have never preached. It's remarkable to me that they have such a depth of understanding. And if I called them to the platform to say, God bless you, to the church, you would have to feed them a heart blood. Amber would have to come check, is there a pulse still in them? They'd die. They'd fall dead in the platform. Everybody wants to be the armchair general. But if you stay in your part and let me be led by the Holy Spirit, my part, and on and on and on, then you get harmony. You get harmony. Romans chapter 15, verse 5. Shall I go on? Yes, yes, yes. Just a little further. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. So not just preachers, not just deacons, preachers, trustees, whatever more, but all of us being the same soul, the same attitude, the same agreement one with another. Well, I don't like the shirt he's wearing. That ain't got nothing to do with your eternal salvation. I don't like the way they do this. Honestly, why do we waste our breath expressing opinions when we have a whole game to play right back at home?
Yes, sir.
Quit playing everybody else's game. Me and the girls first started learning to play things like Monopoly and stuff like that. The little ones, you know, Elizabeth was always the most notorious. She always wanted to move the pieces for me. Get your hands off them pieces. Those are my pieces. I'm the little hat. I've always been the hat, and that's my hat. Isn't it amazing how that we get in this mentality? We call it compassion and love and concern for our brother and sister. Really, all we're being is nosy. Yeah. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, which means to be mature in the Bible. Not sinless perfection, maturity. Be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Notice again. Today, God can bless a man a little bit, give him a good church, and he can't be satisfied until he wants to be ministered to. That shows a sign of spiritual sickness. It's only the feeble that Jesus ministered to. Those who desire to be called rabbi, doctor, reverend, those selfish, ungodly, devilish names. I happen to pack a couple of those myself. But it's not the idea of whether a man or a minister is called pastor or reverend or whatever he's called. It's this attitude of, I am the big one. Your job is to take care of me. Actually, preachers' jobs are to take care of you, not the other way around. We're called to be servants to you. Come on. He said, we are brothers, and we are not of this world, but that's what people desire. When they come to a meeting or something, they walk in, swelled out chest, carry on. You've got to get the very highest respects to those people. We don't need respects one from another. If you want any respects, I want it to come from God, who gives the true respect. How can you have faith when you seek honor one from another? And the church said, amen. Right. It's just taking the cream out of the crop, and it takes the hidden power out of the church. Sapping it away from people. We're trying to act like the world. And this is this. Brother Bram said, we're not to compete with the world. We're here to preach the gospel. So the objective here is we stream or send out messages, what we do. The objective is not to get into such a state of mind to where that we can be the biggest and the best and that we can compete with the big churches. The idea is get the message out. That was Brother Bram's vision. Get the message in the hands of the people. Now listen, spoken word's original seed. You can only serve God as you do and believe the servants, plural, that God sends. You can only serve God on earth. See, as God's servants and sent on earth by divine inspiration.
Amen.
Interprets the word to you. Look, I've seen enough preachers in my time that have learned how to preach, that they can go through the motions of being a preacher, act like a preacher, and be so charismatic you think that's a preacher. But being in the frame or the look or the attitude or acting like a preacher doesn't mean you understand inspiration, pal. Ever who you might be around the world or whoever might be listening tonight. That doesn't mean that you're a real preacher. A preacher doesn't have a certain delivery or doesn't have a certain charisma. A preacher is inspired. That's what makes the difference. We are the ones that have got ourselves in the frame of mind that if he's a preacher, he's got to behave a certain way, talk a certain way, act a certain way, grab the people's attention a certain way, perform theatrics or some kind of a way to catch everybody up. That has nothing to do with preaching. Preaching is about the inspiration from the mind of God for what you need to hear sitting right here tonight. People think, oh, glory to God. You know, it used to be when I was a boy, depending on how many drips at the end of your tie in a minute you had, that's how anointed you was that night. You probably remember them days, don't you, Brother George? The more you sweated, the more anointed. Glory to God, I was anointed. I soaked right through my clothes. Has nothing to do with the anointing. Might be a sign you need to drink more water. Has nothing to do with being anointed. The anointing is inspiration. And a man could stand right here, never take his jacket off, never raise his voice. Fold his hands over this Bible right here and speak such inspired words to you. Amen. Remember, the Lord Jesus never even raised his voice in the streets. He said, is God's service by divine inspiration interprets the word to you? Do you believe that? The congregation says, amen, he says. You want to put down some scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:16. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. So you see the balance in this. As long as a leader stays like-minded to Paul, to Brother Branham, has the same soul, same vision, same feeling, and then the people underneath that leader get in that same flow, that ebb and flow of the inspiration from the leader, wonder what God could do if you could just fall in line with that. You know, there are people that tell me sometimes, in my lifetime, would say, Brother Ben, you just don't speak up when you should. And much of the stuff they think I don't speak up about is because I know this right here. And I know that if I voiced every little thing that I thought, I know that not only would I be destroying the vision of the real leader in the church, or the real leader at that time, or the real leader in the program, but many times when I don't speak, it's because I just want to find the vision of the leader and see how I can complement that. Doesn't mean you always agree with everything. Because I've been in a lot of situations overseas, here, Canada, everywhere, where there'd be some guy trying to do something in the church, and I disagree as East is from the West, from his objective. But I try to find some way that I can get in the flow of what he's doing. That is why, as an evangelist, I've been able to preach in every church, you name them. I've been in them. Return, Tussauds, polygamy, no holiness, name them. Tape churches, I've even preached in tape churches. You know why? Because I don't go on there like a know-it-all. I'm going to correct the area and straighten everybody out. I say, okay, Lord, where's this body at and how can I flow along with the vision of the Holy Spirit to try to benefit the people the best I could? Do you know that's how this church here and other churches like us, that's how we'll find more strength than ever before? What is our pastor's vision for our lives? When you hear us brothers preach, what are we supposed to do up here? Am I supposed to come up here and just preach some? No. You know what I do? I try to hear from the Holy Spirit. What direction should I go? I'm always marveling when I hear people say, Brother Joseph, just preach. You see, out on the road, I don't always get to hear the sermons right away. Sometimes it's days, even a week or sometime later, before I could even stream them. And when I come here and preach like this, I'm always marvel when somebody says, that's exactly what they've been saying at the church. I think, well, that's because the Lord told me to preach this. It flows right in with the rhythm of the church. Why? Because that's what being of the same soul looks like. Amen. Sometimes you just got to put your opinion in your pocket, be quiet, and find the best way to benefit the body.
Amen.
Rather than voice everything you think and disagree so openly and boldly all the time. Honestly, I'd be scared for some people. The way they act toward leaders in this message. There's an individual that some time ago jumped all over me, Facebook, you know. I mean, just laid me out. And I wrote him back and I said, rude. Oh, you've changed. You're different. I said, you're rude. You know, Brother Bram said about those 42 children? When they saw old bald head, they called him, they said they should have walked up to him and asked him for prayer. Because God demands respect for his servants. And God demands respect for all of his children.
Amen.
In closing, Brother Bram said, God would rather you and I love each other than love him. Because when I love you, I do love him.
Amen.
So that doesn't mean we're always going to agree. There'll be things that we disagree about. Hello. Some of y'all are so scared to say amen. You know why? You got history. You got history sitting there. You know what I expect you to do with this message? Go clean your history out. You ever do that in your computer? When you're trying to get all those little bugs and all that little slowdown, you know what you do? You go out there and clean the history out. Maybe you need to do that with a brother or sister here tonight. Maybe some family member. Maybe it's time to take your little spiritual mouse and go to the history and go, delete all. When? Chrome always asks me, how far back do I want to go? Some people go back a day, 24 hours, 3 weeks. Or it has that little button in there, from the beginning of time. I like that one. Glory. All right. I like to click that one when I'm praying to my Lord. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors and those that trespass against us. When? From the beginning of time. I stand. Hallelujah. Well, we wasn't running and shouting, but this is going to do you good. Don't spit the medicine between your fingers now. Swallow it down. Big gulps. Big. Big gulps. You're eagles. Swallow eagle food. Oh, but you say, Brother Ben, that puts me in a spot. That's where I wanted you. Amen. This is a challenge to us tonight. This is a challenge as the people of God. This is a challenge to us to find harmony.
That's right.
Amazing to me how that the Apostle Paul could say such a thing as the wife, the chaste wife, without the word can win an unbelieving husband. That just,
right.
I just fall on the floor sometimes thinking of that. Without the word. It proves, friends, we don't have to be so wrapped up. Brother Ram said, the tapes, the books, the voice, the seventh angel. You hear me? I believe Brother Ram's message. I believe that the voice of God was sent to this last day, but you listen to me carefully. No Christian has to be so invested in memorizing every detail to be led by the Holy Spirit. There are going to be things that God will lead you to do, say, and think, and act, and behave, and you don't even know it's wrote in the Bible, and the Holy Ghost will lead you to do it.
Amen.
God didn't send this prophet to give us an education. Huh? The purpose of this is not how much can I learn about the message. How much can I learn about Brother Branham? He was in Sabino Canyon this many days. He went in February. When a rapture comes and time is no more, are y'all worried about February, March, April, May, June, July, August, or any of the other months? What's all that memory going to do for you? Absolutely nothing. And you know what it's done? It hasn't brought us together in harmony. It's created more division than you could shake a stick at. Because you'll present a detail, somebody else will know some other detail, and instead of you coming together and putting your details together, the very next thing you do, start disagreeing about your details. Well, I heard it from Brother so-and-so. He told me himself, and she told me, and I'll tell you one thing. And the devil just sits back and looks at us and goes, that's exactly what I wanted. Don't you reckon it's time we outsmart that old slew foot and learn to put all that stuff beside and say, God, give me the same vision. Because when you're walking through Walmart, when you're going into the auto shop or you're sitting to get your oil changed or some kind of a thing, if you've got the same passion, vision, desire, Brother Bram had, it's the same thing as God's prophet walking through the stores. Same idea, same vision, same feeling. God, let it be. My message title tonight, The State of the Church Before the Rapture. This is the state that you and I are going to be in before Jesus takes us out of here.
Amen.
One mind, one accord.
Amen.
Sing somebody.
Oh,
you love the Lord.
My brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand.
Praise his name.
Together.
God bless you this evening. Thank you for tuning in. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. Sunday school at 10, the Lord willing.